one of Jesus' parables, talking about parties, a birthday party, celebrations. Jesus told us about a wedding banquet and celebration. Surely a time of great joy. But it brought to me, reminded me, before I met Shannon, back in the days when I was a single, less old adult, I used to hate going to weddings because I was single. And what do they do at weddings? You're dragged out in front of everyone and forced to catch the bride's garter. Or if you're a woman, you get to be dragged out to catch the bouquet from the bride. And if that's not enough, you've got those old aunts or friends that love to introduce you and match you up with someone else's idea of your perfect soulmate. Any of you ever have one of those experiences, men or women? But I recently heard of this strategy that I wish I had known earlier. About one young man had the experience of having all his older aunts pinching his cheeks at weddings and saying, "You could be next." He hated the humiliation until he started doing the same to them at funerals. "You could be next." They left him alone. Sorry, that's not all that funny. But back to the weddings. How many feel more comfortable at a wedding versus more uncomfortable? How many comfortables? And I'm getting there. Any uncomfortables around here? Because I don't blame you. Yes. Well, today's parable is a parable of the wedding feast. And I'm a bit uncomfortable with it. Not quite as bad as those weddings, but actually, I should say I have learned to love weddings, especially when I've gotten the experience of spending months beforehand counseling with a couple, helping them to learn to practice skills that will offer them the possibility of a strong and lasting marriage. So when I'd go to those weddings, then usually I got to officiate, and I got to be a part of that marriage, that strong and lasting marriage, just birthing at that time. But why do I feel uncomfortable about this parable? It is about a wedding feast. What could be wrong with that? Well, we tend to think of Jesus' parables that when there's a king or a landowner, that we're talking about God. And that makes me uncomfortable on this parable, because this king sounds so unlike God. Now, I do like the idea of God throwing a special feast to honor his son at this wedding, because we think of Jesus as God's son, and we remember that the church is known as the bride of Christ. And God has every reason to be disappointed or even angry. I should read the story first, shouldn't I? I just jumped right in. And I'm getting ahead of you. It's just one of those days. Okay, the scripture comes from Matthew chapter 23. And make sure I get the right parts of that. Like I said, Matthew 22, 1 through 10. And it's pretty familiar, so you probably could have followed along with me even without me reading it again. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables. saying the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet. Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. May God bless our hearing of this scripture, and may God guide me in keeping it on track. Invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet. I'm just going to jump right back where I was. God, the king throws this wedding banquet in honor of his son, but when the people refuse to come, as I was saying, God has every right to be disappointed and even angry. God, not the king, has been sending out the invitation since the birth of creation. Come, you that are blessed, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Come experience the banquet. Enter the kingdom. Live with me in paradise. But the Hebrew people rejected the invitation time after time after time. They all had excuses, good excuses, just like we have good excuses when God invites us to enter the kingdom through a new opportunity or a new challenge. How did I know it was a matter of life and death for the friend I didn't invite to church? For the child who is still waiting for food and peace in Sudan or Gaza? For the salmon that don't return to spawn in California to that stream anymore? But the Hebrew people didn't just make excuses. They killed the prophets who spoke up against injustice. Zechariah, Isaiah, John the Baptist, Martin Luther King. Who's next? So the king, God as we tend to think, sent troops to destroy those murderers and burn their city. And that's the part I don't like in this story. As bad as we have been as humans, even as followers of Jesus, as bad as we continue to be in our treatment of the poor and the widows, the unhoused, the environment, our society, our healthcare system, I still believe that God loves us too much to abandon us, much less destroy us. The Bible's full of examples of God giving humanity second chances. We read throughout the Old Testament of the chosen people getting chance after chance after chance. I just can't believe that God will destroy us. Let us destroy ourselves, as we often seem bent on doing. I don't know. But back to our parable. What does the king do? The king sends his servants or prophets out into the streets to invite everyone they meet. But wait a minute. Sure, the king would want guests for his son's wedding feast, but a king would never invite just anybody. He would invite only those that owed him something or those he wanted something from. If a king put on a feast in Jesus' day, every person invited would know that they would be asked to repay that gift someday. And the wedding feast would be a perfect setting to offer favors and receive promises. And no one would have refused that invitation, not if they ever hoped to be in good standing again. Alas, this is a parable about the kingdom of God, isn't it? So it really isn't a story about a vengeful God, but that's the way Jesus hooked his listeners. They would have followed him very closely right up to the point of the king rightly killing the murderers and destroying the city, because that's what kings did in Jesus' day. The king of Israel, Herod the Great, was notorious for such actions. But in Jesus' story, the king invited the people off the streets, the non-chosen people, the non-Christians, you and me, anybody. And that's not what people expected to hear. They were totally caught off guard. This parable, rather than being about a vengeful king, is about God's grace. God's people continue to turn away from God. All humans. We continue to turn away from God. We even turn away from God's free gift of grace so often. God has given us the kingdom. That's what Jesus' ministry was all about from the beginning of his ministry when he read from Isaiah in the synagogue. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He used the prophet Isaiah's words, and then he continued to repeat, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." You see, the kingdom of heaven, paradise, the New Jerusalem, according to Jesus, was not some far-off afterlife. It was present. It is present, here and now, in the relationship with God through Jesus. That is God's best gift of grace. You can live in relationship with God through Jesus today. God is inviting you to a wedding banquet today. This is the day that the Lord has made today. And yet we still worry about the humidity, our jobs, our homes, our appearance, our social status. We may not kill the prophets nowadays, but we tend to not believe the prophets unless they scare us to death with a new conspiracy. Otherwise, we just dismiss them as irrelevant, especially in comparison with the weather, with food and gas prices, finding or keeping a home or power. Yet God still promises the kingdom, still invites us to the wedding feast every day. Come enjoy God's good creation today. Enjoy this life God has given you today. Enjoy hope, love. Walk with God today. This is not an apocalyptic parable of judgment. This is a story about God's grace and God inviting each of us to the banquet. Everyone around us, the poor, the rich, the liberals, the conservatives, the gays, the Hindus, the Muslims, the men and women in the penitentiaries, the children who can't read or write, the gang leaders, alcoholics and other addicts. We're all invited, and they are all invited. And the only cost is saying yes. Say yes to living in relationship with God through Jesus and finding your hope and giving hope by trusting in God. Saying yes to enjoying and protecting God's good creation. Say yes to the peace of mind and the sense of well-being that is yours for accepting yours, for wearing, as Paul says, your whole armor of God, wearing the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, everything you need to be dressed for this wedding, dressed for the kingdom, dressed for life in abundance. God has done everything possible to open wide the gates of the kingdom. God has sent before each one of us a banquet and given us a robe at our baptism. You're invited. If only you'll put on that robe and accept God's grace. God has filled your life with grace and love, offering even his own son to open the door and show you the way. The feast has been set before each one of us. God's good creation. The kingdom of heaven is near. Paradise is yours for the enjoyment today, if you will only just say yes. Today. And our take-home question is, how are you saying yes to God's invitation? The feast is prepared. Jesus is inviting us to his table. Will you pray with me? Blessed God, we are grateful. We wake up in the morning and still have breath, still are surrounded with the blessings of our homes, the beauty of your creation all around us, gathering here to worship with friends and family, enjoying the relationships that you enable us to enjoy and to grow. Oh God, we give you thanks and we say yes. We're coming to you to enjoy that relationship, to enjoy your blessings, and to share those blessings with each other and with all that we meet, all those on the streets who deserve your love just as much as we do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.